heat of his office and the general misery of August in Venice. Deus ex machina, therefore, could have been no more welcome than was Vianello, who came in carrying that day's Gazzetto dello Sport. "What's that?" Brunetti asked, pointing to the pink newspaper and giving unnecessary emphasis to the second word. He knew what it was, of course, but he failed to understand how it could be in Vianello's possession. The inspector glanced at the paper, as if himself surprised to see it there, and said,
"Someone dropped it on the stairs. I thought I'd take it down and leave it in the squad room."
"For a minute I thought it was yours," Brunetti said, smiling.
"Don't scorn it," Vianello said, tossing the paper onto Brunetti's desk as he sat. "The last time I looked at it, there was a long article about the polo teams out near Verona."
"Polo?" Brunetti asked.
"It seems. I think there are 7 polo teams in this country, or maybe that's only around Verona."
"With ponies and the white suits and hard hats?" Brunetti could not prevent himself from asking. Vianello nodded.
"There were photos. Marchese this and Conte that and villas and palazzi."
"You sure the heat hasn't got to you and you're maybe mixing it up with something you might have read in, oh, I don't know, Key?"
"I don't read Key either," Vianello said primly.
"Nobody reads Key," Brunetti agreed, for he had never met a person who would confess to doing so.
"The information in the stories is carried by mosquitoes and seeps into your brain if you're bitten." "And I'm the one affected by the heat?" Vianello said.
They sat in limp companionship for a moment, neither of them capable of the energy necessary to discuss the heat. Vianello leaned forward to reach behind himself and unstick his cotton shirt from his back.
"It's worse on the mainland," Vianello said at last. "The guys in Mestre said it was 41 degrees in the front offices yesterday afternoon."
"I thought they had air conditioning."
"There's some sort of directive from Rome saying that they can't use it because of the danger of a brownout like the one they had 3 years ago."
Vianello shrugged.
"So we're better off here than in some glass and cement box like they are."
He looked across at the windows of Brunetti's office, thrown open to the morning light. The curtains moved listlessly, but at least they moved.
"And they really had the air conditioning off?" Brunetti asked. "That's what they told me."
"I wouldn't believe them."
"I didn't."
They sat quietly until Vianello said,
"I wanted to ask you something."
Brunetti looked across and nodded. It was easier than speaking. Vianello ran his hand across the surface of the newspaper, then sat back.
"You ever,"
he began, paused as if trying to find the proper wording, then went on.
"Read the horoscope?"
After a moment, Brunetti answered, "Not consciously." Seeing Vianello's confusion, he continued, "That is, I don't remember ever opening the newspaper to look for them. But I do glance at them if someone leaves the paper open to that page, but not actively." He waited for some sort of explanation. When none was given, he asked, "Why?" Vianello shifted his weight in his chair, stood to smooth the wrinkles in his trousers, and sat down again.
"It's my aunt, my mother's sister, the last one left, Anita. She reads them every day. Doesn't make any difference to her if what they predict happens or not, though they never say anything much, do they? You are going to take a trip. She goes to the Rialto market the next day to buy vegetables. That's a trip, isn't it?"
Vianello had spoken of his aunt over the years. She was his late mother's favorite sister, and his favorite aunt as well,